Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. A major East Coast interstate bridge that carried more than 11 million vehicles per year is no more. Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed into the Patapsco River overnight after a support pier was hit by a huge container ship. Baltimore Fire Chief James Wallace says a number of vehicles plunged into the chilly waters almost 200 feet below. Search and rescue operations soon commenced, and so far two people have been rescued.
One individual refused service and refused transport. Essentially, that person was not injured. However, there was another individual that's been transported to a local trauma center that is in very serious condition.
The chief says they may be looking for upwards of seven people, although the number is subject to change. An investigation underway to determine what caused the collision as the ship was exiting the port of Baltimore. Maryland's governor has declared a state of emergency, and Baltimore's Mayor Brandon Scott says there will be plenty of time to talk about plans for a replacement span. But right now, he says, the focus is on search and rescue. No get-out-of-jail card for American journalist Evan Gerskovich. Accused of spying, he'll remain in a Russian prison, at least through the end of June.
The 32-year-old U.S. citizen was arrested in late March 2023 while on a reporting trip and has spent nearly a year behind bars. Gerskovich and his employer have denied any allegations, and the U.S. government has declared him to be wrongfully detained. His arrest has rattled journalists in Russia, where authorities have not detailed what, if any, evidence they have to support the charges. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Arguments scheduled before the U.S. Supreme Court this morning, a case focusing on the availability of the abortion drug mifepristone. Watching Wall Street, the Dow futures are up 45 points, NASDAQ futures 54 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
She's gone from reporting on the sidelines to making sense of the headlines. It's the Michelle Tafoya Podcast on the Salem Podcast Network.
There are people, Democrat operatives, that are saying, yeah, things are not looking good. Maybe Mr. Biden needs to bow out. Maybe the president needs to take a look at what's best for the party and say, you know what? I'm not going to run again.
Subscribe to the Michelle Tafoya Podcast today on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Rumble, or at Salem Podcast.
This KMZQ News Flash, powered by Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries. Stay active, be healthy, they'd rather wait. We're just frankly really tired of scraping people off the streets here in Las Vegas. That's Clark County Sheriff Kevin McMahill expressing his frustration with a dramatic increase in traffic-related deaths so far this year. As of this week, there have been 45 traffic-related deaths in Metro's jurisdiction. That's compared to 27 at the same time last year. McMahill says more police resources have been focused on traffic violations that lead to crashes, resulting in a 200% increase in tickets being given out. But there has not been a decrease in the number of fatal accidents. The sheriff says the penalties for drunk drivers who cause death need to be made stiffer. And he's once again asking for red light cameras, suggesting they be put in at Las Vegas's 20 most deadly intersections. Southwest Airlines thinking of adding red-eye flights to its schedule. When that happens, Harry Reid International Airport will be at the top of the list. Southwest CEO Ryan Green says when the late-night flights begin in a couple of years, lots to do between now and then, Las Vegas and Hawaii would be the first airports to get them. Southwest previously stayed away from late-night flights because its reservation system lacked the capacity to handle it. That's changed with a recent system upgrade. Green says once the late-night flights begin, Southwest could provide up to 50 flights a day. No definitive timeline for the flights to begin has been released, though. No big winner in last night's Powerball drawing, so tomorrow's jackpot, it should top $865 million. Since the last winner, January 1st, there have been 36 straight drawings without a big winner. Meanwhile, Mega Millions tonight, $1.1 billion. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
Woo! Come see why thousands have made the switch to Findlay Chevrolet. 215 at South Rainbow. Find new roads.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Findlay Chevy is a place to buy. Home of the...
Fall is here, and RSV can strike people over 60. Super protect yours with the vaccine. Check with your healthcare provider or visit immunizenevada.org. With health, there is life.
This message is sponsored by Immunize Nevada, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, you can get an oil change for only $39.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Slower than usual on the east side of the valley, traveling north on 95. Approaching Tropicana, I've got an accident. It's a minor one, but it's in a bad location with all the construction going on there. Northbound 95, approaching Tropicana. That has taken up the left lane of the freeway there. Want to stay to the right to get by there quicker. Also, still working a wreck on the west side streets. Rainbow northbound at Sahara. That comes with some lanes blocked on Rainbow northbound at Sahara. And a new one here at Rancho and Vegas Drive to steer clear of, too. Weather's going to look a lot like yesterday. Mostly sunny skies. Afternoon highs hovering right around 70 degrees. 52 right now, and winds could gust back up to around 20 miles per hour. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
Check it out!
And Joan, Shingang, I'm going to pronounce her, Shanga.
Can I just say that of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
Number one, time is running out. Number two.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Tuesday, March 26th. Good to have you with us. The big news of the day, obviously, a container ship slammed into a major bridge in Baltimore early today, causing it to snap in a few places and plunge into the river below. We'll have the very latest on that. Currently, there are seven missing. Two have been rescued, and they are working that out in the port of Baltimore, even as we speak. The big news yesterday, obviously, was the news that Donald J. Trump is not going to have to come up with $464 million. He's going to have to come up with $175 million. He has 10 days to do it. And a guy that I'm sure had a wonderful reaction, because this is a major victory, I think, for former President Donald J. Trump. He is Kash Patel, the former chief of staff for the Department of Defense and the author of Government Gangsters. He's a Vegas guy, but he's joining us from Florida today. Good morning, Kash. How you doing?
I'm good. It's good to be back with you. Thanks for having me on.
And just so people don't read more into this than normal, you're in Florida. You're not in Mar-a-Lago?
I was with the president for a couple of days this past week. A lot of events going on. And unfortunately, I had to leave Florida for the confines of the swamp for a quick 24-hour swing through before returning home to the great state of Nevada.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Give me your reaction when you heard that the appellate court ruled that he didn't have to come up with $464 million.
Well, as the president said, that fine and outcome has always been ludicrous to that amount. And I think the appellate courts gave him a piece of the Constitution back in America, a piece of the legal process back by its reduction. The court case in general is still on appeal, which many Americans forget. So there's still a lot of issues up in the air, but at least there are some judges at some appellate levels willing to follow the facts and the law and not weaponize the system of justice. So that was a minor win for all Americans, not especially those who seek to defang the weaponized system of justice.
The question I keep asking is, what took the appellate courts in New York so long to wait till the 11th hour of the 11th hour of the 11th hour to make a decision on this? Nothing's changed in the last week.
Well, that's what that's what judges and courts usually do. But here's the thing. It was brought to them in such a late fashion because the prosecutors in the case waited to bring the case against Trump. And they waited to see if anything was going to shake out in terms of if he was going to be the nominee or he wasn't going to be the nominee. They could have brought this case years ago. If they were preparing all this work and put in all these resources, they used a prosecutorial office for political gain and entered it into a political presidential contest because they want to destroy President Trump's timeline and ability to be on the campaign trail. You see, they don't care about whether or not they get the actual conviction at the end of the road. They care about taking him off the campaign trail for 30, 60 days and utilizing his cash and holding it in a bond status so he can't use it during the campaign. That's what these government gangsters want to do.
Now, one of the things I've been getting just in the last week or so is a lot of fundraising from the Trump campaign and supposedly from the former president himself. Keep your filthy hands off of my assets. What do you make of what the former president is doing to counter all this? And in particular, from a fundraising standpoint, is this helping or hurting his fundraising?
I think it's hurting. I think, as you and I have talked on the show many, many times, and as we saw with the president out in Nevada just a month or two ago, he's showing and highlighting the two-tier system of justice for everyday Americans. He may be the target now, but what he's showing everyday Americans and what he's showing businesses specifically in the state of New York is you can't come do business here. They're going to take away your assets unlawfully if they don't agree with you or anyone you are close with. And a lot of businesses and a lot of folks are on TV who don't necessarily agree with the former president saying that New York is not the place to do business because of this judgment, which many find unlawful and unconstitutional, and political targeting. So I think he's right, and he's probably going to raise a lot of money off of this because it resonates. That's when fundraising goes buck wild, when it resonates with the majority of Americans. And I think this resonates not just with the wealthy folks, but with everyday working Americans to say, how can we live in this type of society where you are going to rig presidential election, not just by robbing us of the truth, but by using the court system to remove people's abilities to even run.
Tell me how this is going to impact Truth Social. I know the former president talked about it yesterday at his news conference, but can you talk a little bit about how it's going to impact Truth Social? Will they join the New York Stock Exchange or not?
Well, as a board member of the DJT, with the company listing today for Truth Social, it's a very exciting day for the boss, for the president, and for free speech, most importantly. And for those of us that have been championing this effort for censorship-free social media, it has finally arrived for the world to see. And everyone in the naysayers and the fake news thought it wasn't possible or they didn't want it to happen, and the only person that could do it is Trump's leadership. So where it goes from here, I'm not sure. We have leadership in place to make those decisions, and I got to be a little careful what I say as a board member. But what I will say to everybody is, if you want to join the free speech empire and revolution, come on in and check out Truth Social. We are everywhere, and we are now a publicly traded company under the ticker of DJT.
What is your understanding of how this transfer of wealth is going to go? He has 10 days to come up with $175 million. Tell me how this thing is going to play out. How does he? Can he just lay his hands on that kind of money, $175 million in cash?
Well, yeah, I believe, as the former president said himself, that he's got access to that money. He'll post it in cash, and not this cash, the other kind of cash. And so I think the president's not going to mislead America on that. And as you know, he was a billionaire before Truth Social went public. And his assets are just only improving because America and the world are responding to everything that happens to Donald Trump in a positive way for the president. And so I think his finances and his situation will only improve as more and more people join the Donald Trump movement.
Can you give me your assessment of where we are from a polling standpoint? I know here in Nevada, the fact is that Donald J. Trump is winning in Nevada right now. He is winning in a bunch of the battleground states. In fact, I think all of them. Can you give me your sense of where we are polling-wise in this presidential race?
Well, yeah, I'm not the ultimate pollster here, but what I do, and you know this, is I go around the country and speak to large audiences about the America First movement, about Donald Trump's policies, and what I see is everyday Americans showing up and not just rich white folks. I see minorities. I see people of all stripes coming in and saying, we want a better America. And I think that's what's reflective in the polling that you're talking about, especially in these swing states in our home state of Nevada, which is the key to the West and the key to the Electoral College. People are seeing they are tired of spending $6 for peanut butter and jelly, $5 for eggs, and $80 to $100 just to fill up a small tank of gas. This is Joe Biden's America. What they're also sick of and responding to is the open border invasion that is allowing so much drugs to pour into our country and illegals to murder innocents like Lake and Riley. And the polls, I think, are reflective of a desire to go back to Donald Trump's policies across the board.
Without giving too much away, what is the game plan near term in the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, versus the long term leading up to November 5th?
Well, I think the president's going to go out and lead, as he always does, by dominating the news cycle and taking advantage of that media by employing, whether it's talking about his legal cases, whether it's talking about the state or federal case or Georgia or what have you, or the border, or now, you know, terrorist attacks overseas, Al-Qaeda and everything on the rise, or the forever wars that Joe Biden started in Ukraine. I think he's going to take everything in stride with probably a big build-up plan as we head into the summer to pick a vice presidential candidate and ultimately the convention and the election. So I'm sure he's got a masterful plan laid out, but he also is a master at pivoting and allowing the media to make missteps, and he take advantage of that, just like he's doing, I think, with this New York judgment. He is owning the news cycle, and people who have never paid attention to state courts before are saying Donald Trump is getting hosed by this two-tier system of justice, and we can't have that in America.
Again, Kash Patel joining us, the a former chief of staff to the Department of Defense, close confidant of Donald J. Trump. Will we see Donald J. Trump in Nevada? I know we've seen the president. Are we going to see the former president again relatively soon?
Oh, it's going to happen. You know me and you and a lot of other great Nevadans are wanting Donald Trump out there. And I think we probably would all enjoy a big Donald Trump rally. So while I can't guarantee when, you know me, I'm going to lobby for it. And I think Nevadans are going to respond to it, especially in this political cycle. They are yearning for security, yearning for safety, yearning for a secure border and for crime to go down and for the ability for our children to be educated freely in our schools and not consume Chinese fentanyl and die under the age of 18. This is all things Donald Trump's going to talk about and fix. And they know that in Joe Biden's America, if they don't show up to support Donald J. Trump at his next rally or event, then this is our fault for choosing a leader who politicizes our lives for his own head, expense, and ego.
I want to ask you a really political question, and that is a third party candidacy. RFK Jr. Supposedly naming a vice presidential running mate. First of all, will RFK Jr. be on the ballot in Nevada? Do we know that yet?
I think the most recent news is he's fighting the state secretary of state on qualifying for the ballot. I believe he's about to take him to court, but I think in the end he will make it on the ballot.
And how will he impact the race? Will he take from the Democrats or more from the Republicans?
I think he's going to take more from the Democrats. I mean, RFK is a dynastic Kennedy. And his position with the Democratic Party that has made him rapidly unpopular, his position on the COVID vaccine mandates and COVID in general, which he's largely correct on. And that draws him to a lot of libertarians and conservatives. But remember, his overall policies are that of a social Democrat. And that's what he wants to do. And he is appealing to Democratic base, which is yearning for new leadership. Even moderate Democrats are looking at Joe Biden saying this guy is not going to be able to beat Donald Trump because his policies have ruined this country. And some of them will flock towards RFK Jr., I believe, because he is a better alternative for a Democratic candidate than Joe Biden is. Everybody knows Joe Biden is a terrible presidential candidate, and that's why you're seeing the polls react in the way they are in favor of Donald Trump, because they know he is far superior and will be far more successful as president.
When does the former president begin? You talk about his ability to pivot to attacking RFK Jr. Or will he?
That's the question right there. Will he? You know, his political astuteness is far superior to anyone else's. So I don't know that he will. But if he does, I know it will be based on a genius decision by the president to say now it's the time to go. Right now, we haven't seen any of that. And of course, there's a the wild rumors about a possible joining tickets and all that stuff. And I think that's more for the media and the political junkies than anything else. But, you know, I don't think the president has ever gone out there and into a political fight that he didn't need to, even though the media wouldn't understand most of it. But what he is good at is focusing attention on the substantive issues behind that fight. And if there's a need for it, I'm sure he'll pick it. But if there's not, why go after it?
Tell me how Government Gangsters is going. We waited so long to get to this book because they attempted to kill it, from the Biden administration. How's it going?
It's going great. It's still a bestseller, and I got great news for the state of Nevada. Myself and Steve Bannon and War Room Entertainment have partnered up to make Government Gangsters into a film. It will be releasing in 6 short weeks, and we are going to do a live preview theater debut in Las Vegas with Steve Bannon and company. So we're having a great time, and that just goes to the success that people want to defeat the deep state. People want a roadmap to defeating the deep state. They want to know who's in it. We identify it all, and we're going to bring it to a big screen near you soon. And, of course, it's going to be debuting in Nevada. So go to Amazon, go to governmentgangsters.com, get the bestseller. We name names. This is why the Joe Biden administration never wanted it out. And we tell you how to fix this broken system of justice, two-tier weaponized system of political vengeance, and how to restore our Defense Department and intel communities to work for the American people so we can end the forever wars and secure our border.
Cash, enjoy your stay in the free nation of Florida. No, we love Florida. We love Governor DeSantis has done. Enjoy your stay down there. We'll see you when you get back to town.
Thank you, my friend. We'll be back tomorrow.
There you go. Former chief of staff to the Department of Defense. He is Cash Patel. He is a close confidant of the former president, and he's a good dude, too, and a smart, smart political dude. We'll talk more about that. Well, we're going to talk about what happened yesterday in New York and how it's going to impact the race for president, all that and more. And I'll let you hear the former president's reaction to all that happened yesterday. It was a busy, busy day. As we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Tuesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Continued fallout, Trump legal peril. We'll give you the absolute latest on that.
Whatever happened to Bidenomics, we'll discuss what's really going on and how Trump can capitalize.
9 to noon on AM 670 KMZQ.
Hi, this is Trading Made Easy. Have you ever thought about staying home and working from home? If yes, Trading Made Easy is our automated day trading software, and it's just for you. Some of our members work an hour or two tops. Find out how you can work from your home computer with no experience necessary. With the current market craze, a lot of local people are doing what I said. Trading Made Easy just celebrated its 6-year anniversary. The automated day trading software takes trades in a millisecond, better than any human being. Call me for a free live session. Watch it for free. Seeing is believing. Trading Made Easy offers 0 down and 0% financing for the software with no payments needed for 12 months. Trading Made Easy. Working from home was never this easy. For more information, call 1-800-971-4160. That number again, 1-800-971-4160. Or go to TradingMadeEasy.com. That's TradingMadeEasy.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Josh Levitt, and I'm running for Nevada State Senate District 18 because I believe in a brighter future for each and every one of us. Together, we will move forward innovative solutions to diversify the economy, improve our schools, cut wasteful spending, and improve our healthcare infrastructure. I'm not just a candidate. I'm a lifelong Nevadan with a track record of getting things done. From being a champion for small businesses to advocating for better access to healthcare, I'm exactly the representative you need in Carson City. I bring years of experience in business as a chief information officer, an entrepreneur, and community builder with a history of working with legislators on education and workforce development policies. Join me in this journey to build a better Nevada. Your vote on June 11th will ensure there is choice in education, our families have access to quality health care, and our community thrives. Together, let's shape a future we can all be proud of. Visit joshfornevada.com to learn more about my vision and how you can get involved. I'm Josh Levitt, and I approve this message. Paid for by Josh Levitt for Nevada.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer Employee Benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employee's dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no-obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casale of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
They will stop at nothing to destroy our country from within. High inflation, chaos at the border, pro-terrorist rallies on college campuses. This is not the America our founding fathers envisioned for us. Hi, I'm Lieutenant Colonel David Flippo, and I'm running for Congress to fight back against this liberal insanity. Nevadans are tired of watching our country and our state being destroyed by radical liberals and career politicians. Some politicians will go so far to win, they will switch parties when it's convenient. I've been a lifelong conservative Republican who spent 24 years fighting for this country in the United States Air Force. I spent my career defending the country I love, and I am stepping up once again to stop them from taking over our party, our state, and our country. But I need your help to win this fight. Go to electdavidflippo.com for more information. And together, we can flip Nevada red. This is David Flippo, and I approve this message, paid for by the committee to elect David Flippo.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
It is Live and Local. On this Tuesday morning, good to have you with us. We are continuing to track the bridge collapse in Baltimore. We'll have the latest coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, seven are missing, and we'll have more details on that story as we go along. The big story yesterday, obviously, was the reduction, major reduction, in the bond being posted by the former president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. This is interesting. It went from being $460 million to $175 million. Now, it's still lots of money, still tons of dough. And you may have some reaction to this, and call me if you do at 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. Basically, what we are learning now is that the former president has got the cash. That will not be a problem for Donald J. Trump. Jonathan Turley is a really smart legal dude. And in fact, let's go to cut one real quick. This is Professor Jonathan Turley from George Washington University. His reaction to the appeals court decision that came down just about this time yesterday.
What's next here after he pays the $175? Because this appeals court could come back and decide to reject his appeal.
Well, that's right. You know, the problem with the original trial decision is really twofold. One is, did he engage in fraud? You know, the real estate market is rather infamous for undervaluing and overvaluing assets when it comes to loans and taxes. This is a ubiquitous problem in the area. But let's assume that there was over or undervaluation that occurred here. The question then becomes the penalty, which adds a new problem because the judge showed no restraint at all and just imposed a figure that most of us believe is absurd. I mean, when you drill down on that figure, there's nothing there. There is a lot of speculation. But since you didn't have anyone that lost a dime, since the so-called victims wanted to get new loans from the Trump Corporation. This figure really is quite grotesque in its size, and it does raise constitutional issues. So the Court of Appeals has to look not just at ultimately, and there's been a couple of appeals, so these have been divided up, but you have the merits issues that have gone before the Court of Appeals. You're now going to have those questions about the size of this penalty.